Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's Letterman Row. It's Mick Walker on the other side of your screen. It's Spencer Holbrook. It is Masters Week, but more importantly, it's spring game week for Ohio State. We're here to break down what Ryan Day said on Monday, what we heard from the wide receivers on Tuesday, and then we'll start to preview that spring game. We'll have a lot more preview of the spring game on Thursday and Friday, but today on a Wednesday morning, we are going to talk Ohio State football and as it relates to the Ohio State spring game that's coming up on Saturday. Very excited to get back in the horseshoe for the first time since the Buckeyes celebrated their national championship, technically for the first time since that Tennessee game, which obviously was cold. The spring game's going to be cold, but not that cold. Mick, how are you?
I'm doing good. Trying to stay warm. Going to have to bring out the lawnmower for the first time this spring here today. And so it's gonna be a good day. The most important thing on my schedule today, if you ask my wife, over my work and this podcast appearance with the Spencer Holbrook, is getting the lawn mowed. So that is the number one priority once this podcast ends.
Yeah, I finally got mine mowed for the first time earlier this week. And it was a chore because of how high the grass was. No matter what you have to do this week, make sure you go to Big Game Football Factory, because this episode of Letterman Row is, of course, brought to you by Big Game Football Factory. Big Game Football Factory, proud sponsor of Letterman Row. You can get your hands on one of these footballs. Ohio State is the national champion of college football. You all know that right now. You're about to see them in the horseshoe. I'm sure there's going to be 100,000 people in the horseshoe watching that spring game. And you can get your hands, your paws, on the football that Ohio State used to win the national championship at biggameusa.com/Buckeyes. It's premium leather. It's the exact specifications that Will Howard and the Buckeyes requested from the folks at Nike. It's got this gray fractal swoosh. It's got the CFP 2025 logo. It's got the Ohio State logo. I'm still looking for a case for this bad boy. Went to my local Michaels. They were out of football cases. I think it's because these things are flying off the shelves so much. This ball also comes with a certificate of authenticity. So you can either put it up in the shelf up there by all of my belongings, or you could throw it around. Who cares what you do with it? Just go get your hands on one of these today. High and tight. Ball security is job security, and you can have some job security at biggameusa.com/Buckeyes. Get your paws on one of these footballs today. Mick, quarterbacks. We saw the quarterbacks on Saturday. I did a three thoughts from the Woody Hayes Athletic Center by myself, a solo show. It was actually well-received. Thank you if you complimented that. If you thought I looked like a doofus, I thank you for not commenting that, even though many of you probably did think I looked like a doofus. Apparently, I talked quickly, but that's what happens when you're solo. I'm going to keep working on that because I'm going to do some solo takeaway shows here throughout the offseason and into the fall when I'm traveling solo to some of these road games. Mick, I didn't talk about quarterbacks at all on Saturday, and that's on me, hand up. I don't know how that happened, but the person who did talk about quarterbacks a lot on Monday was Ryan Day, who called this battle between Lincoln Keenholz and Julian Sain effectively eliminated Tavian St. Clair from the quarterback race, which is not surprising whatsoever. It's not what Tavian hasn't done. It is what he hasn't done. He hasn't been here very long. And he played small school, high school football up in Bell Fountain. Shout out Logan County. He, you know, is just raw and green. And so I think that Ryan Day said he's got further to go than those other two. This is a two-man quarterback battle. And Ryan Day said it was neck and neck on Monday, even walking off the practice field Monday. Keenholz was better on Saturday. I think we're safe to say that. But that doesn't mean that he's been better throughout the entire spring. It is a 15-practice body of work. What did you take away from hearing Ryan Day talk about these quarterbacks on Monday?
Yeah, I think what he said lines up with kind of what we saw on the field on Saturday. There was obviously, if you wrote down a ton of great observations on Saturday and Sunday on the Letterman Row website, front page over there, $1 for your first 7 days, get all that stuff. You can read it after the fact, get you ready for the spring game, and then you'll have it all covered for this upcoming Saturday. But I thought Lincoln Keenholz probably had the couple of the biggest splash plays. He had an awesome touchdown to Carnell Tate in the back right corner over there in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, which was probably the play of the day. I even thought Tavian St. Clair, I mean, looked the part and did some interesting things. He was the one that probably was the most live of like, hey, we're going to let him kind of run and scramble around. It's also, yeah, I think having guys like, even though they are not the most heralded recruits, aside from like Carter Lowe, having an offensive line of like Carter Lowe, the Armstrong twins, Siobhan McFadden against this third string Ohio State defensive line, which at this point is probably largely walk-ons with kind of the lack of depth that is there in that defensive line room. It's probably makes it a little bit easier, but even Julian Sain had some good throws. He had timing anticipation, like saying it was neck and neck aligned with what I think with a lot of what we saw on Saturday. So that makes sense. And it was just kind of confirmation for what you had reported and what we saw.
Yeah, it did confirm quite a bit of what we've been hearing, right? Like, you know, Sayan's going to have splash plays. Keenholz has been pretty consistent. You saw the release, the accuracy from Sayan. Like, it wasn't that he had a bad day. It was just like, I think relative to expectations, Keenholz was excellent on Saturday. And Ryan Day talked about Lincoln and the growth that he's made. If you want more about the quarterbacks, go over to lettermanrow.com. I wrote an observations piece that touched on them on Saturday. I wrote Lincoln Keenholz making his move in the quarterback column on Saturday as well. And then on Monday, we followed that up with some reaction from Ryan Day about the quarterbacks over at lettermanrow.com. $1 for your first week. That gets you through the spring game and into some transfer portal stuff, because a week from today, the portal opens. Maybe we'll touch on that at the end of this video. But Mick, I do think, here's the deal. We've only seen three practices. We saw the first hour, the first hour of the first practice, which Ohio State did nothing. We saw the first hour of the second practice, and you guessed it, Ohio State did nothing. And then we saw Saturday. We have not seen enough to make any judgments on this quarterback battle. Was Keenholz better Saturday? Yes. Does that mean that Keenholz has been better throughout spring practice? No. And I'm not discounting what Lincoln did on Saturday. I told him after practice when we were just walking off, I said, Link, you had a really good day today, man. Like, from the media's eyes, like, you're going to get some praise. He's like, oh, thanks. I'll make sure not to read it. Like, you know, he doesn't want that. But, like, you know, I'm not discounting what Lincoln Keenholz did at all. That's not what I want to sound like here. It was a one practice sample size. Ryan Day and Billy Fessler and Brian Hartline and Tyler Bowen and Carlos Lachlan and all the evaluators, the ball knowers inside the Woody and Keenan Bailey, the ball knowers inside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center have seen every day. They've also seen the film room. They've seen the weight room. They've seen the locker room. They know the pulse of this quarterback battle. It's our job to judge based on what we see. I'm not ready to make any judgments whatsoever on this quarterback battle. To me, I still think Sayan is going to end up winning, because I think the ceiling is what it is, and it's a little different for each of those guys. But again, I say that super cautiously just because I know how the internet operates. I'm not saying that Lincoln Keenholz can't win the job. I just think, like, when it comes down to it in August at the end, the ceiling for these guys, I think, is a little different. So we'll see. I'm not ready to make any judgments, and I know that's probably a cheap way out, but I hope that makes sense to everybody, that, like, I'm not going to judge anything based on what we saw on Saturday because it was one practice. And even if Julian Sayan was better on Saturday, I would still be saying that as well, because it was only one practice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to couch it. Like you said, I think if they're both at their best, if they're at their peak, Julian Sayan, Lincoln Keenholz, you would probably say Julian Sayan. I think that's what the high school rankings would lean. But both of them were really talented prospects, obviously. Both four-star guys. They were both all in 300 type of guys. So we're not talking about a bunch of slubs here. We're talking about good, talented quarterbacks. And it's similar things talking about the offensive line. I mean, that's another position group that we learned. I don't know if we learned a ton about on Saturday, but it's, I think, some interesting things to look at, whether it's the people that are playing tackle, who's not playing starting tackle or whatever. I'm not going to take any judgments, and the ceiling conversation is another valid one to have with this offensive line. But if we're buying stock on some guys from this spring, and we're saying, hey, like, these are the guys that I was impressed with on Saturday and in recent weeks, how can you not say Austin Saravode, who has just looked like a man amongst boys at times when we've been in there?
So I was going to ask you, what position group were you taken away, you know, taken aback by on Saturday, and what are you looking forward to seeing in the spring game as we project what we saw on Saturday forward into Saturday's spring game? Like, is the offensive line where your mind immediately goes?
Yeah, especially just because I think for the first time in what, you would know this better because you've been doing this for 7 years now, you're the 7-year vet, but I think the Ohio State has probably, what, four tackles where if you said any of these four guys started, you'd be okay. They can play with those guys.
I think it's right now, I would say Daniels, Saravode, and Onyanwa. Now, that's not discounting Ian Moore whatsoever. Had a good conversation with the Moore family after. I hope they're watching. Terry and Sherry, they're great people. But I think Ian still needs to prove some stuff, just, you know, he's only a second-year player. And playing guard at second year is one thing. I think playing tackle at second year when you're out on that island. And, you know, Carson Hinsman last year made me think about this so much more than I used to, because we asked him about how impressive it was. I think it was Hinsman. how impressive it was for Donovan Jackson to go from guard to tackle and kind of make a seamless transition. He said, you're going from playing in a phone booth to playing on an island. And I think it's a little easier for guards to play in that phone booth than it is for those tackles to be out on that island. And so I think there's still a little bit of ways for Ian Moore that he needs to go to make sure he is starting caliber, but he's absolutely in the two deep. And I don't think there's anything you could say to the contrary of that. So, you know, there probably are four, but I would say absolutely, without a doubt, three, Saraveld, Onyanwa, and Philip Daniels. So I hope, you know, and I, that is not to take away from what Ian's doing. I've been on the record. I wrote a full, I think, 1,500 words on Ian's progress with quotes from like Justin Fry and a few other Josh Fryer, a few other offensive linemen about how good and how ahead of the curve Ian Moore is. But I still want to see a little bit more from him before I say, like, yes, he could start on August 31st and block Colin Simmons and Ohio State would be okay against Texas. So, like, that's where I land on the tackles. And then at guard, it's like, you're pretty set, man. Whether it's Josh Padilla or Carson Hinsman at center, those guys were rotating at center together, like with first and second team, just to keep Padilla ready. And, you know, if Padilla is good enough, maybe Hinsman slides to guard. But Tegra Shibola, Luke Montgomery, Austin Saraveld, Carson Hinsman, Josh Padilla, those five right there on the interior, you're feeling really damn good about your interior offensive line, no matter which combination they run out with those five guys.
Yeah, even like Gabe Van Sickle, we talked to him this spring, and I think if there were like, I think Gabe Van Sickle and Josh Padilla are two guys that if for some reason, and this is totally hypothetical here, this is just to heap praise onto how they've looked this spring. If they were to enter the portal at some point in the next year or two, or even this spring, they could go somewhere and be a starter for probably a Big Ten program, Josh Padilla and Gabe Van Sickle. Like they are that talented. I think people think that highly of them inside of Ohio State, but obviously with Gabe Van Sickle, you're looking at like Luke Montgomery, Austin Saraveld, Tegra Shibola, and even like Ian Moore, if he wanted to get into reps at guard. So you're talking three or four or five guards in front of him before he gets to Gabe Van Sickle. And then, like you said, with Carson Hens or Josh Padilla, you got Carson Hensman in there. And as much as I think Josh is good at center, I just think there's a leadership quality and a actual like quality of knowing the offense and calling out things from center that Carson probably has a leg up on him from just playing more. But Josh Padilla, Gabe Van Sickle, and then, like you said, Ian Moore, like those are three guys that I think they might not start this year, but if like you're telling me that they're starting next season for some reason, like for Ohio State in some capacity, I think you're pretty confident going into the season, even though they haven't played very much to this point.
Yeah, you're not going to see a lot of live reps from that first team offensive line. I think they're going to do some thud stuff, what Ryan Day said about the first teamers. But the second team is super intriguing, especially because that second team offensive line was impressive. It was Ian Moore at tackle with Ethan Onyanwa or Philip Daniels at tackle, just because they were kind of rotating guys in. It was Jake Cook at guard, the freshman, who Luke Montgomery said he's way ahead of where they thought he would be, to be honest. I think that's exact quote from Luke Montgomery. He's ahead of where I thought he would be, to be honest. Asked a couple other people about him, and apparently he looks really good as a true freshman his first spring. Gabe Van Sickle made my notebook that I wrote in the immediate aftermath of Saturday, just like as a second-team offensive lineman. I really liked what I saw from him. And then, you know, whether it's Padilla or Hinsman in there at center, like that second team offensive line could start at a couple of Big Ten schools. And listen, compared to where this offensive line has been in the past, woo buddy, is that an interesting sentence to say. So, you know, credit to Justin Fry for starting that development. Credit to Tyler Bowen for keeping that development on track so far. So far, so good with those guys. The offensive line is definitely one that I'm watching on Saturday. Like, is there anything specific that you want to see from those guys on Saturday? You know, is it, you know, I don't think the quarterbacks are going to be live, so we're not going to really get a sense of like pass pro, but I still think there's some stuff that we can take from last Saturday, glean toward this Saturday, and learn this Saturday about this offensive line group. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think we saw one last week with an offensive tackle and a defensive end where like there was just a clean win and pass protection for the defensive lineman. Like, that's what, and like whether it's in practice or in the spring game, like, clean wins are what you can't have, like, because that means you're over in about 1 second or 2 seconds of a play. Like, if that happens to the Ohio State offensive line in the spring game, I think it's fair to say that that play was a bad play for that player. But overall, not all that, like, I don't think there's going to be anything too crazy. Like you said, the line's not going to be a lot, like, the quarterback's not going to be live. They're not going to be doing a whole ton of stuff when it comes to, like, moving, like, bodies along the offensive line for, like, run game. Like, I don't know how in-depth we'll get with the run game which makes like the, if we're going on for another position group, I think the next group I would have mentioned was linebacker with a guy like Peyton Pierce and some of these freshmen. But if you're moving on and not saying it's going to be overly live and not overly like physical, I don't know how much we'll see from those guys. But the buzz from some of those freshmen and even the Peyton Pierce especially has been pretty interesting. So I'm excited to see what they look like when we get into the horseshoe on Saturday as well.
Well, I'm not going to give you two position groups before I get to my first position group. And my first position group is actually interesting. I don't think a lot of people would expect this from me.
Oh, because mine weren't interesting? Yours are actually.
Here's why I think mine is interesting is just because Ohio State fans don't typically hear this from me. This is more of a couple other beat writers on the beat. I won't call them out, but they know who they are. They love talking wide receivers. They do. They just love it. They can't get enough of it. I'm kind of in the camp of like, hey, Hart's got this. Like, we don't have to worry about wide receivers. They're going to be great. But this year is interesting to me only because I am super intrigued at which of these receivers can get open against this secondary. Because even if it's twos on twos, the second team secondary versus the second team receivers, those are players who could start basically anywhere else in the country because of how good these freshmen are, because of how good this second team secondary is. You're talking about a second team secondary that's going to include, in all likelihood on Saturday, Devin Sanchez, who's probably the number one freshman in America as far as at corner. Like, he's going to play as a freshman. And Aaron Scott, who's a former five-star, who's in year two, who the buzz has kind of grown for him. Bryce West, who has maybe the loudest buzz of any defender right now on the entire roster. You're talking about Fahim Delane, Leroy Roker, who gets compared to Malik Hooker because of his ball skills, not because of the full body of work, but the ball skills. Like, if you're getting open against this second team secondary, oh my. So, like, Philip Bell, Desai Jones,
Quincy Porter.
You're talking about Quincy Porter. You're talking about Bryson Rogers. Like, if those guys are flashing on Saturday, normally it's like, oh, you know, haha, these guys are the spring game all-stars, and then they don't do anything in the season. If you're flashing against the secondary, man, you need to be on the field. And so I'm very intrigued, first of all, by what I saw on Saturday from Quincy Porter at Student Appreciation Day. Then he loses his black stripe in front of the masses. That's a big deal. But also, like, these other guys, just like, hey, Carnell, Jeremiah, even Brandon Ennis, like, they don't need a lot of work. So what do these second-team receivers do to put themselves into that rotational category heading into the summer? I'm supremely intrigued by what we could see from this receiver group upcoming here on during the spring game, and that could catapult one or two of these guys into that next echelon of the receiver depth chart. And I'm going to keep my eye on that because what I saw on Saturday, I'm going to glean from that, turn it toward the spring game. I'm pretty intrigued by this receiver group.
I think that's totally fair. I was talking with somebody driving into the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on last Saturday before the Student Appreciation Day practice, and we were talking about a wide receiver that Ohio State's recruiting the 2026 class. And as most people that work with, whether it's trainers, coaches, or whatever, that they want to know where the board's at, kind of what if their guy's going to be a take, if things are like that are happening, and just kind of prompted. They were talking about he brought up and he said, "I know Hart really likes Philip Bell and Desi Jones, and those are two guys that are in the slot and." Hartline would I know that Hartline trusts this guy. Hartline trusts a fair number of guys when it comes to working with wide receivers. But for Hartline to tell outside people praise about a couple of guys, especially young guys like that, it's not anything that's like – it's if he says that, it's notable. So seeing those guys against, like you said, Bryce West, Miles Lockhart, some of these other guys that are coming in, I don't think Jason Stewart's playing, but there's still other talented defensive backs in that room. So to see those young guys against the other young guys in the secondary – is going to be a good matchup. So I guess, yeah, it's wide receivers and secondary as a combination when they're going head-to-head would be that next battle to watch. But, I mean, that's what we always talk about in the spring.
Hey, we're just scratching the surface here, man. We talked quarterbacks, what we want to see on Saturday. We talked offensive line. We talked secondary a little bit. We talked wide receivers. We got a lot more coming over at LettermanRow.com and then also here on the Letterman Row YouTube channel. We'll be back on Thursday to talk more about this. By the way, it's Masters week. I've got my Masters hat on. I want to give a huge shout out to Jake Rowe from Dogs HQ, the Georgia website. He tells me he's going to Augusta. I send him money. He sends me hats. So, like, I got this Masters hat. No, I haven't been to Augusta. It's on the bucket list, like number one, top of the bucket list. I'll get there eventually. Not this weekend. I'm going to be at the spring game doing my job because that's what I do. Cover Ohio State football. I do it year round, 365 days a year. So does Mick Walker. He's got recruiting coverage out the you know what. He and Alex Gleitman do a great job covering recruiting. Go to LettermanRow.com right now. $1 for a full week of coverage. That's a lot to break down on the recruiting trail. We're going to get some transfer portal stuff. We'll have the White House visit on Monday. Heading over to DC for that, I expect to. In the meantime, LettermanRow.com is always there for you. Go to Rowback.com. Use the code Letterman20. Get one of these beautiful hoodies. Go get the Azalea collection. I heard from somebody on Saturday at the Woody. Said he bought some of the Azalea collection. We salute you, sir, for doing your job.
Those aren't the voices in your head.
They might be. They might be. You're probably right. I need to go get more Roback. My wife's going to kill me if I buy any more. That's Mick Walker on the other side of your screen. I'm just Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys back here on Thursday for more preview of the Ohio State spring game coming up this Saturday. And then we'll see you guys over at LettermanRow.com.